away. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the chapter number 16. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. And we commence reading at verse number 19. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word together, please. That's Acts chapter 16, commencing to read at verse number 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid their stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the surgeon, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to you to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants took their words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Amen. And we know that God will indeed, as he always does, add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come reverently this morning around thy precious word, and we long to hear a word from thee. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt open the scriptures afresh to our hearts and help us, our God, to be taught. And we think of those today that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that this might be a day of salvation. We thank thee, our God, that we have been singing, O God, that Lord, concerning thy salvation. And Lord, we bless thee, Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. And we pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt take of thy word, and thou wilt back it home by the power and with power today. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt lay the sinner low, bring them to thy feet in humility and in repentance and in faith in Jesus Christ. O God, give them the gift of faith today, that they might receive the Lord Jesus is our Savior and the Lord. We thank thee for those who are saved. We thank thee that we have been redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but we are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless thy word to our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The passage of God's word that we have read this morning is certainly a very familiar passage of the word of the Lord. We find that Paul and Silas has been put into prison. He has been handed over to the jailer of the prison. And by the jailer is a rough character indeed, because it tells us there that when they were given to the jailer, verse 24, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stock. This wasn't an act of kindness. This wasn't done in a gentle fashion. This was a really rough old character. And he was the jailer of a prison. He didn't care about the sufferings or the pain of what the men were going through. He was doing a job, and he just took the saints of God, Paul and Silas, and he thrust them right into the inner part. And then he made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, whenever Paul and Silas got in, you'll notice in verse number 25 it says, and at midnight. That, of course, is the darkest part of the night. And at midnight, it says, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You see, after 1 second after midnight, it's a new day. Thank God a new day is dawning. Just 1 second after midnight, a new day is breaking. But you know, every one of us in our lives, we have had our midnight experiences. We have gone through the dark passages of life. We have gone through the trials and the troubles and the tribulations. We have known what it is that sickness and suffering and sorrow, sometime or other, you and I have shared our midnight experiences. Maybe we have walked it with somebody else. Maybe some of you young people, you say, well, preacher, I haven't walked that road. Friend, you will, because there's not one of us. There's not one of us in this service this morning, but will walk a midnight experience, a dark, dark path. But thank God the Bible tells us that unto the righteous there ariseth light in the darkness. And here in this prison, in the innermost part, the darkest part of the prison, their feet in the stock, and their backs have been beaten. Because the Bible says in verse 23, they laid many stripes upon them before they cast them into prison. And you know, we find that here's God's children. What are they going to do in the darkest part of the night? It says they prayed. They prayed. And as I said last Lord's Day, a couple of Sundays ago, we're looking at this passage of God's word, or finishing there. Friend, let me tell you, you know, prayer is natural, I suppose, in days of difficulty. Because is it not true that when we have our midnight experiences, quite often, when we have nowhere else to go, then we call on God in prayer. And people say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm going through a tough part of the journey. I'm going through trials or troubles. Would you pray for me? And of course, they themselves maybe have been broken and forced to their knees in prayer. But it says this, not only did they pray at midnight, but it says they sang praises unto God. You remember their backs beaten, their feet are in stocks. They've just been thrown in or thrust into the inner part of the prison by this old rough jailer. And they started to sing. I wonder what hymn they sang. I'd love to have been standing at the door. But I'll tell you this, whatever they were singing certainly touched. Because the Bible says this, that the prisoners heard them. Hearts were touched. Let me tell you, whenever you have a child of God, even in the midnight hour, and they're able to praise the Lord, I can tell you that touches hearts. Many people have said to me as they've watched believers walking through dark paths of the journey of life. And they said, you know, I watched them. And I watched that person, and they didn't fall apart. But my, there was just a sustaining grace there. There was something helped them through. And friend, the world watches. The world's watching on as you and I face the journey of life. The world's watching on as you and I face our sorrows. The world's watching on as you and I endure our sufferings. And it says, and the prisoners heard them. Thank God they could sing praises to God. As the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see, God has promised grace. God has promised grace sufficient for the journey. For God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My friend, they did not know what was happening next. They weren't saying, you know, well, in a few moments' time or a few hours' time, we're going to get out. No, they didn't know that at all. Their backs are beaten. Their feet are in the stock. They didn't know what lay before them. What was the enemy of the gospel of Christ going to do next to them? They weren't thinking about being escaping from the prison. But thank God they had a soul that was set free. They had a spirit that had been liberated. And thank God they were singing praises. They were singing praises unto the Lord, and the prisoners heard them. It was an unseen audience. You see, they were in the inner prison. There was no lights. Remember, whenever the jailer came in, he called for a light. There was no light there. And so the prisoners couldn't see them. But the prisoners could hear them. They sang praises unto the Lord. Have you got a rejoicing spirit this morning? Maybe you say, preacher, listen, if you only knew what I really was going through, because I hide it. I don't share with others. I'm a very private person. People don't know what I'm going through, but I'm going through a tough passage of life. If you only knew. Friend, let me tell you, these prisoners were going through a tough part in life. These men of God were facing an unknown future. Maybe even death itself. Remember, they're lying in prison. They didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring. But they knew the one who held tomorrow. They believed that God was in control, friend. They did not believe that God had lost control because they were lying in an inner prison. Sometimes, you know, whenever we're lying suffering, we think, has God forgotten me? Why is this happening to me, Lord? Surely there has to be something wrong. You know, all the doubts and fears sometimes crowd our mind. These men, they were in prison, but they sang praises unto the Lord. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And then something else happened. It says, and suddenly, verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. You know, the walls didn't come down. The walls didn't cave in. Yes, the foundations were shaken of the prison. But the doors just opened. The doors just were flung open. And all the chains of the prisoners, they fell off. This was nothing ordinary. This was of God, friend. This was God moving. And so the prisoners, their chains just fell off. They were released from the bondage that they were in. And yet the wonderful thing is this. Whilst the chains fell off, not one of them moved. Because you see, God was moving. God restrained them. It wasn't the chain that was restraining them anymore. It was God that was restraining them. And you see, whenever the old jailer, he woke up out of his sleep and he realized that all the doors were lying open, and the first thought came into his mind, the prisoners are gone. And he knew exactly what that meant to him. That meant death to him. Because for him to lie asleep and all the prisoners to go, it would mean death for him. And that's why he drew his own sword. Because he was going to do the job himself rather than go through the torture of the death that the authorities would give him. He drew his own sword. And he says, you know, this is hopeless. I'm finished. And then, friend, in the midst of the darkness, Paul cries out. You see, he doesn't see the jailer. Because there's darkness all around. And it says, when the keeper, verse 27, the keeper of the prisoner awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. And out of the old bowels of the prison, friend, Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." See, Paul knew God was in this. Paul knew that God was moving here. This was of God. You know, Paul was able to say, even though he was lying in the inner prison, he was able to say, "We're all here. We're all here." It was night. How did he see them? Friend, the secret of the Lord is with his saints. And I believe that God witnessed in Paul's heart, "I'm going to do a miracle in this prison tonight." Not only did the voices of the men of God as they sang praises unto the Lord vibrate through that prison, not only did the jails, the people who were prisoners, the chains fall off and the foundations of the building begin to shake and the doors fling open. This was all of God. This was God moving. And yet Paul, bruised and bleeding and broken, lying in the inward place, he spoke a word in season. My, what a word in season. "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." See, the old devil, friends, let me tell you this. The old devil would come to that old jailer and say, "Listen, you're finished. Kill yourself." Is it not true that many young people today, and even older people, when they face trials and troubles, and the old devil says to them, "There's no way out here. End it. End it." We think of the tragedies of the suicides that are all around us, friend. Touching family after family, young and old. And they can't cope anymore. The devil says, "There's no way out here. There's no other way out but end it." And that's what the devil told the jailer. For he wanted to take him to hell. Thank God there was a way out. Christ was the answer. Paul spoke a word in season. You know what we ought to pray? A lot of people hurting around us, friends. Let me tell you, there's many a person and they need a word in season from you and me. Not a critical word. Not a condemning word. A word in season. What if a Paul had said to him, "You're rascally, you might as well finish it. You tried to finish us." No, no, that's not what Paul said. Paul said, "Do thyself no harm." Yes, you have harmed us. But Paul didn't want to see the old jailer harmed, friend. Paul wanted to see the jailer saved. And he says, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." You know, I pray when I go out amongst people, I pray, oh God, that I would have a word in season. That I would have a word from the Lord. You know, God's people need encouragement. They don't need a beaten up. The world will beat them up enough. God's people need to be encouraged. Sometimes they just need to know that somebody is praying for them. Somebody's caring. And friend, even when you can do nothing, humanly speaking, if you mean it, now if you don't mean it, don't say it. But if you mean it, but I'll pray for you. What a blessing that that can bring to a troubled soul. Somebody going through a hard time. Well, I'll pray. I'll pray to God that God will intervene, that God will open a way. He says, "Do thyself no harm." Paul didn't want him harmed, friend.
He wanted him healed. He wanted him saved. And may God give us grace to pray for our enemies. Because I can tell you, this boy didn't treat Paul and Silas well. And we need to have the Spirit of Christ. Do you remember what Jesus said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That takes great grace. But friend, it's the right thing to do. Do thyself no harm, Raleigh. Now notice what happened. It says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep, in verse 28, it says, Paul said, do thyself no harm, Raleigh. Verse 29, then he called for a light. And he sprang in. And he came trembling. And he fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out. And said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I wonder, you know, what made that man talk about salvation? Somebody must have told him. This, remember, this is the jailer, the hardened boy. He was as hard as rock. Whenever he got Paul and Silas, he just thrust them into the inner prison. He put their feet in the stock. There was no love. There was no care. It was all anger and hate that was in his heart. Whenever he came into Paul and Silas' presence and fell down, what did he ask about? Salvation. Salvation. And I often wonder, how did he know? Maybe somebody else told him. Maybe he heard somebody else witnessing. And it seemed as if the word had taken no impact. It seemed as if the word that had been spoken before had just lay there, dead on the ground. Friend, let me tell you this. In a moment of time, that old hardened prisoner or a prison keeper, he was talking about salvation. Or was it that Paul and Silas were praying for him to be saved? And he heard them praying and thanking God, because remember, they were praying and they were singing praises. Maybe was it a song? Were they singing about God's salvation? Whatever it was, friend, this hardened soul, as hard as hell, in a moment of time was melted. And he came trembling. And he fell down at their feet. And he says, sirs. Didn't talk like that before. Whenever he was beating them and throwing them into the prison and putting their feet in the stock, he wasn't, sirs, would you mind if I would do this? No, he wasn't doing that. There's a change of attitude here. See, that night God stepped in. And I can tell you, God can make the difference. And friend, let me tell you, the God of glory can make the difference in your life. He can change your life. He can change your conversation. Isn't it wonderful when God saves a man that used to have a blasphemous tongue, and thank God when God saves him, it just seems to disappear. And God gives him a tongue that will praise the name of his Son. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, friend, whilst this man knew something, somehow, God doesn't tell me how, he knows something about salvation, but he's totally ignorant of the way. And maybe there's someone here this morning and you've sat in the meeting after meeting, friend, and you know that you need to be right with God. You know that you need to be ready for eternity. You know that you have a soul that needs to be saved. But to be honest, you still, after all, perhaps even years of sitting in God's house, if someone to ask you, what is the way of salvation? How can I be saved? Or in your own soul, you were to ask, how can I be saved? You're still blinded to it. You have a spiritual ignorance of the way. He realized he needed to be saved. But how to be saved, he was ignorant of. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Saved from what, friend? Saved from what? What is a salvation about? Saved from what? Did not the angel give the answer to that simple question? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Salvation from sin. Deliverance from sin. From the penalty of sin. Friend, you need to be saved from the penalty of your sin. The Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of your sin is death. Eternal death. Eternal separation from God. The wages, the penalty of your sin is a Christless hell forever. If you die in your sins, says the Lord Jesus, where I am, you cannot come. Oh, to be shut out of heaven, friend. Oh, to be shut out of the presence of the Son of God. And to be shut into hell itself and be lost for all eternity. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. What an awful eternity. What an awful eternity, friends. Listen, the rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You see, death's not the end, sinner. Thank God, death's not the end for the believer. Thank God we're going to heaven someday. We'll walk the golden streets of heaven. We'll bask in God's own light. We'll see the lovely face of the Savior, the one who hath redeemed us from our sin and washed us from our sin in his own blood. I was speaking to a dear lady last night out visiting, and she said to me, "Preacher, I just look forward to the day that I see Jesus as he is." Are you looking forward to that day? The first glimpse of Jesus, the one who hath loved you and loosed you from your sins in his own blood. But friend, to die without Jesus, to sit in the gospel meeting and hearing God's way of salvation, and yet to die without Jesus and go out into a lost eternity and hear from his lips on that day, "Depart from me. Go away! Away! I never knew you." The Bible says that they shall be cast into hell, the place of utter darkness for all eternity. What an awful end. Friend, let me tell you, listen to me carefully, and you're there forever. 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 No light to lighten the darkness. You see, this man, he was in the darkness, but he called for a light. But there's no light in hell. The Word of God says the blackness of darkness. Forever. What an eternity. That's why God's people, let me tell you, ought to be up and about their master's business while it's day. Listen, you see, for their loved one, the night's coming. The night's coming very quickly, friend. People tell me, and rightly so, preacher, from one weekend to the other, sure, there's no time in between. It just seems it's time's flying. And let me tell you, time doesn't fly in hell. It's eternity. Where time's clock never beats, never ticks. Just eternity. What must it do to be saved? And they said unto him, what a question. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what must I do? Somehow it was a question about effort. What do I have to work? How do I work to get to heaven? Sirs, tell me. Tell me what work am I to do to get to heaven and be saved, to know my sins forgiven and be sure of heaven? And their answer was this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friend, it's a secession from effort, from human works. It's a trusting Christ alone. He's the only way to heaven. Believe on. Believe on. Place your whole weight on what Christ has done. It denies salvation by works. It denies salvation by merit. It denies salvation by character. Salvation is of the Lord. And that's why we read this morning in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. Friend, let me tell you, there is no other way to heaven. It is the Lord. It is Christ alone. Whenever the apostles went to the different places to preach, it said, and they preached unto them Jesus, the Savior. Oh, turn from your works, friend. Turn from your doings. Turn from your efforts. Turn from your religiosity. He said, what must I do? Listen. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for the work's done. Christ has done the work. Put your whole weight on him. Put your faith and trust alone in him. You see, it's not creed, it's Christ. It's not simply the plan of salvation, it's the man of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning in this church,
men and women, never forget how privileged you are. I say this humbly before God. Never forget how privileged this congregation is, because Sunday after Sunday, the only message that we're preaching is Christ, salvation through Christ alone. You know, there are multitudes going to church today and chapels, and they're told a false way. And they're dying in their sin. And they have no hope. Yet you know the way. You ever thought of what it'll be when you stand before that Christ that you have heard of Sunday after Sunday on that day of judgment? Have you ever thought of what it'll be to look into His face? And for Him to say, I never knew you. You're not mine. But God, I went to church. God, I went every Sunday to the free church. Yes, you knew the church, the denomination. But you didn't trust me that they preached. You rejected me. I never knew you. You're none of mine. Listen to me carefully this morning as I close. What must I do to be saved, preacher? How can I be saved this morning? How can I be sure of heaven? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Christ as your Savior. Take your place as a sinner. Recognize that you're lost. Realize that only Jesus saves. He is the sole supplier. He is the singular source of salvation. And out of Christ there is no other way to heaven. And repent of your sin, friend, and turn by faith to Christ and receive what God offers freely in the gospel by faith. As many as receive Him, to them give He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Will you trust Christ today? Or will you just walk out again? Heard it one more time. I'm rejecting it one more time. And I read a list of people whose families were bereaved this past week. David Boone was 39. And a wife and children are left behind. But David's gone. Thank God he got saved. But you say to me, preacher, just before you finish, but your David was sick. And I'm not. Are you not? There's many a person sitting in this church today, friend, and you're carrying the very disease that'll take you. The only difference is this. You don't know it. And you're not saved.
and you're not ready. And the preacher will not bear you in the sure and certain hope. Because there's no hope without Jesus. May God save you now. He saved this man. Thank God he can save you too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning, and I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt make eternity real. Let women and men, young people, not go away thinking they have plenty of time, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Father, we heard in the news this week of 5 children that were burned. They weren't sick, but they're in eternity. Show us today the urgency of seeking the Lord.